enjoy those days of ministries, you know, in Johor Bahru, Johor Bahru Church of Praise. Still remember your home, Taman Perling. Yeah, praise the Lord. It's good. It's good. Friends are very, very important to us because friends are also our family. You know, it's terrible, you know, if we do not have friends. You know, if we are not connecting with friends, if we're not building friendship. You know, there are times, you know, when you need friends to stand with you. And I think it's very important. And of course, saying that, you know, I also want to include, you know, that the church is also, you know, it's also your family. Your church mates ought to be your friends as well. You know, this is the community of faith that you should feel safe, that you should feel, you know, part, you know, it's like your second home. I remember those days when I was a youth, you know, when I accepted Christ, you know, as a youth, you know, I always hang out in the church. You know, my mother asked me, you know, why are you spending so much time in the church? I say, it's because I've got so many friends, you know, we can do things together, you know, and we play games together, we play basketball, football, badminton, you know, and it's like my second home. God is really, really good. Praise God. You know, I was preaching to the other church sometime, was it yesterday? I said, oh, wow, I said, Melbourne gives me a cold reception, you know. Cold reception. The last time when I came, even the last several times when I came, it's not as cold as it is now. You know, it's terrible. You know, you recorded the coldest day of the month of May. You know, 8 degrees. But nevertheless, I think when we are in the Holy Spirit warms us up. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'd like to ask you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. The book of Matthew, verses 21 to 28. I want to talk about great faith. Great faith that pleases Jesus. If you have a concordance, these days, you know, Google is like our second God. You know, everything, you know, Google, 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 you know. You want to cook a meal, Google a meal, you know. I remember when I arrived at Sydney, I think last October, I somehow misplaced my key to my bag, you know. And I don't know how to open a key. And my son says, Google, Pa, Google. Okay. Even Google tells you how to open a lock without key. So, yeah. Google tells you everything, you know. So, true enough, you know, Google, you know. And I got my bag open, you know, the lock open, you know. So, Google. Great faith. Persons that had great faith in the Bible. And there are very few. There are very few. You know, and out of the few, this particular passage, this woman that came to Jesus was commended as a woman that had great faith. A woman that had great faith. So I'm going to read with you, all right? I have not put it up on the slides because I still believe that we need to read the Word. Amen? We still need to read the Word of the Lord, all right? So Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She is bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." She came and worshipped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children, thrown to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord. But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. Hallelujah. Instantly healed. Our Father, we thank you for the worship of your saints. And this morning, even as we worship you in spirit and in truth, we know you are here present with us. So, dear Lord, we ask, oh God, that you will speak life into these words. The Bible proclaims that the letter kills, but it is the Spirit that gives life. And so, Lord, the author of life, breathe into these precious words right now and cause it to come alive to us. Lord, I subject every wandering thoughts now to the obedience of Christ, and I bring every heart to the attention of your word. The Father, that you will break this word like bread, dear Lord, and you will feed our soul and our spirit. And let that seed of faith drop upon fertile soil right now, that you and I, O Lord, will be greatly, greatly encouraged and drawn to you by the close of this service. For we ask and we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Woman, you have great faith. Great faith. Oftentimes when we talk about messages on faith, you know, when we try to, find substitute or symbolism of faith, you know, we use a mustard seed, is it true? How many of you have seen a mustard seed? It's really, really small. You know, we saw it, you know, just a couple of days ago in Pastor Tom Front's home. It was mustard seed. So tiny, you know. Sometimes you need a magnifying glass to really look at it, you know. But when a mustard seed falls to the ground and grows, it grows into a gigantic tree, strong tree. The winds will not be able to bring it down. No storm will be able to bring down a mustard tree. Faith is equated to that of a mustard seed, small but big when it grows within us. And the Bible reminds us, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. No matter how many books you read about Jesus, those books will not grow your faith. Because faith comes when you are listening to the word, when you are reading the word, when you're studying the word, when you're meditating on the word. My wife and I have made a commitment to the Lord to read through the Bible in 1 year. And daily, sometimes, you know, we do miss 1 or 2 days, you know, that is to tell you the reality and the fact of it. But we do catch up. Once we start reading again, we do catch up on those days where we read 10 verses, you know, we take turns to read 10 verses. Sometimes we take a chapter each, but we read it. We make it a point to read it as a couple. As a couple, we have our marriage moments together, like what your pastors say, you know, we do a lot of marriage seminars and teachings, you know, on it as well. No amount of books that we read about Jesus will grow your faith, not even a single inch. It is the word of God that you study, that you read, that you meditate, that grows your faith. There is nothing else that will grow your faith except the word. It's just like this room, you know. No, this room will be total darkness if the cords is not connected to the source of power. Your faith will not grow until you are connected to the source that grows your faith, the word of the living God. So the story begins by informing us that this woman came to Jesus. She must have heard about Jesus, the great works, the great things that he has done. Raising of the dead, healing of the sick, the blind eyes were open. And she had a desperate need before, the need of her daughter to be delivered from demon possession. You know, somehow or another, you know, desperate faith will always be rewarded. When we know how to go to the source, to the one who releases the healing, to the one that releases and gives us comfort from our pain. So she came to Jesus. She's a heathen. She's a heathen. The Bible tells us that she's Gentile and she came to the Lord. In growing our faith, we must remember that there are ingredients that is needed to produce great faith. Ingredients that are needed to grow our great faith. I'm a great lover of curry. And in making good curry, you need to get the right spices. Yeah? Spices. I love my dad's cooking. My dad cooks real good curry chicken. Why? Why real good? Because he takes... Oh, hungry. Yeah, me too. You know, he takes time to go to buy spices from the Indian store. In fact, we found an Indian store in Sydney, and my wife bought some, and she cooked some very nice curry, you know, several times in Sydney. When you go back, cook for me, please. Huh? You know? And you need to get the right kind of spices in order to get good taste of this curry. And sometimes you need time, is it true, to look for the spice and to make it yourself. You need time. You need to boil it. So great faith requires ingredients, the right ingredients to produce great faith. Three ingredients. Firstly, we need the ingredient of what we call great persistence. Great persistence. Verse 22 tells us. This woman came to Jesus pleading, "Lord, have mercy on me, son of David. My daughter is possessed by a demon and torments her severely." Great persistence. But understand that in great persistence, it is preceded by three situations. In order for persistence to be produced, three situations must happen. And firstly, there must be the situation of what we call great silence. Growing our faith, from faith to become great faith, there will come situations of great silence. The Bible informs us in verse 23, Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. You know, friends, we have expectations. All of us have expectations. When we come to Jesus, when we bring our need before Jesus, Jesus must answer us. But remember, God answers us in many ways. Number one, he can say yes. Number two, he can say no. Number three, he can just simply keep quiet. Even keeping quiet is an answer. Even keeping quiet is an answer. And this woman experienced that. You know, she could have reacted very humanly. Hey, what is this Jesus that I've been hearing about? You know, doing great things, raising the dead, healing the sick. But now I'm coming to him, I'm meeting him face to face, and I'm calling upon him, and I'm telling him my need. Lord, help me. The three magic word, Lord, help me. And she even gives the reason why the Lord should help her. My daughter is tormented by demons. Tormented by demons. But she got no answer. Here's the situation. I don't know, matter some of you here in our midst, you have called upon the name of the Lord and you have presented to him a very sincere request. It may be a physical need, it may be a financial need, it may be an emotional need. And there seems to be silence at this point of time. I want you to hang on there as we look further. As we look at the scenario of this woman and begin to find our identity and our answer from him. There is need to be also a second situation. There is great offense. There is great offense. Not only there is great silence, but there is great offense. Jesus gave her no reply, right? Not a single word. And then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She is bothering us with all her baggings." Great offense. Jesus, we are on a great mission. We have got something to do, something great to do. You know, this woman is bothering us. This woman is just taking up our time. And this woman would have given up. First, no answer. Secondly, the disciples, those that have been close to Jesus, telling her to shoo, shoo. Friends, in growing our faith, we go through situations where we take offense. Do you know, in our Christian growth, in our Christian walk, in our Christian living, we go through great moments where we have been offended. And many times the offense, the situations of offense actually comes from the church, from within the church. Sometimes we think that church are so good people, yeah? Christians are so good people, but the reality is that we get disappointed. But look at this woman. Jesus didn't answer her. The disciples rejected her, telling her to go away. Perhaps, you know, there might be a visitor that came in and says, hey, today, this is not your church that you should attend. Go to the next one down the road. A third situation is needful for great faith, and that is great confusion. Great confusion. You will encounter great confusion. Now Jesus speaks. And this is what Jesus said to her. I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. I don't know about you, but if you were the one hearing what Jesus is saying to you, you would have thrown the towel and that's it. What is this Jesus? I don't believe anymore in what the church is believing in. In a paraphrase form, Jesus is telling her, look, even if you need me to pray or to bring answer to you, you have to take your ticket number, take the queue. Because you know why? I'm sent to Israel. I'm sent to bring hope, salvation to Israel. You are not part of the chosen one. I'll pray for you, but you have to be somewhere at the end of the line. Was Jesus that mean? Oh, no. Because Jesus wanted to see great faith coming from this woman. We will go through tests, my friends. All of us will go through tests. Even right now, at my age, I'm still going through tests. And all through our life, as long as we are alive, living, and breathing, we will go through tests. It is only when we pass those tests that we go to the next level. He takes us to a new level. He takes us to a new encounter with Him, where there is freshness that is important, new anointing that will come in, new challenges, where there is greater reliance on the Holy Spirit, greater dependency on the Holy Spirit. The danger of the church is that we tend to rely too much on things that have brought us success, that we dare not try new stuff. That's the danger. Do the same things over and over again, because why? We have been successful before. Use the same route over and over again. So when there is road work there and the road is completely cordoned off, where am I going to go? When we are not taking the challenge to explore new stuff. So here is a great confusion. Oh, dear me. Finally, this God spoke, and yet this God spoke such terrible things to me that I am a second class. But you know what? God, Jesus, chose her to reveal to her that she was a woman of great faith. Because out of these three situations, she passed through it, and she entered into the second ingredient. She began to offer to God the second ingredient that would take her to arrive at her great faith. Because the second ingredient is great worship. Great worship. Notice in verse 25 here, after Jesus said that he was sent to the people of Israel, she came and she worshipped him, pleading again, Lord, help me. Notice that she didn't walk away, but she poured in the second ingredient, and that is worship. She was willing to give God her best. In worship, she presented her need. And she sounded to God, to Jesus, the three magic words again, Lord, help me. You know, brothers and sisters, when we have a great need, never let a song fade from our mouth. Worship Him. Keep worshiping. Never stop worshiping Him. Never allow circumstances to take away your songs. Never allow circumstances to take away your devotion to God. Keep worshiping Him. I remember a situation when Don Moen was wanting to understand God. He wanted to draw close to God. And so he thought that by going to seminary, you know, by enrolling in the theology class, you know, studying under the best theologian of that time, you know, would help him to know God. He went for theology class in the seminary. He came out of the class, he was more confused. Oh, dear me. He went home, he was so frustrated. He was so frustrated. Oh, boy, I thought I was going to know God through theology. So he took his guitar. He went to the corner, he slumped down, you know, on the corner and began to strum his guitar. Krang, krang, krang. pray. And suddenly the Holy Spirit gave birth to a beautiful song that has blessed many, many lives. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar, dwelling daily where you are. I just want to be where you are. Worship. He found God. He knew his God through worship. And this woman did the same. The silence could not damper her. The rejection could not damper her. Her confusion did not stop her from pursuing God, from pressing into God. I don't know about you, but I sense, you know, some of you might be in her shoes this morning. Don't stop, but keep singing a song to the Lord. Let worship take you into the very heart of God. Let worship take you to the very throne room of God. That's what we did a moment ago. It is in worship that you find the heart of God. And that's the reason why I never rush into a church service. I enjoy the time of intercession, Pastor, to prepare your heart for the service. Never rush into a worship service. You know, your heart is pumping, you know. I wear a wristband to check on my heartbeat every time to make sure that I'm healthy. Never rush into a service. But come in and steal your heart. Prepare your heart to participate in a worship service. Don't be a spectator. Don't just open your eyes and see what's happening. Whether the brother is lifting their hand, whether the sister is speaking in tongue, whether the worship leader is jumping, whether the drummer has some spirit in drumming. Be a participator. Be active participator in worship. Love him. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Always remember, we must take the initiative. Jesus says, you come near to me, I'll come near to you. We must take the initiative in coming to God. So there we are. She had worship. She worshiped God. I'm not giving up. Even though she has been told that I'm second class, she didn't give up. She continued to press in. And finally, the third ingredient that is needed to produce great faith, she manifested. She manifested great humility. We need great humility in order to produce great faith. Humility. Jesus responded. He says, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. And she replied, that's true, Lord. But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. She had great humility, brothers and sisters. Are you willing to humble before God? You know, I thank God that we are all equal when we are in the presence of God. We are all equal. There's no one that is bigger, more important than the other. We are all equal when we come before his presence. Jesus was testing her again. Since you are second class, you have to wait, isn't it? You have to wait. Now, remember, Jesus is not that mean. But Jesus have to really, really check her out. She replied, that's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath the master's table. Okay, what is on the table is for first-class people. But once those food fall from the table, it's free for all. It's free for all. If the bread falls from the table, I'll grab it. It becomes mine. It's mine. I've got it. And Jesus marveled at her confession. Brothers and sisters, have a humble heart when you come before God. Amen. Be humble. Stoop low when you're in the presence of God. I've pastored in a mega church before, and in this mega church we have people with titles. Pastor Calvin will be familiar with that. You know, they are datoks and tansuris. These are titles that state rulers and even the king of Malaysia would bestow on citizens, you know, when you have done something good for the nation, they will give you that. And I was one day, I was preaching in Glad Tidings, and I says, I don't care whether you're a Tan Sri or a Dato. When you come to Jesus, you come just as we are. When you come to Jesus, there's no special place that is allotted for you to sit. You come to Jesus, you remove your shoes, and you come just as you are. Same. No matter how successful we are in society, how respected we are in society, we come to Jesus just as we are. I like the way Billy Graham always ends his crusade, just as I am, would be his altar call song. Come to God just as we are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great humility. Jesus' response and reply to the Canaanite woman is, dear woman, your faith is great. Your request is granted. Your faith is great. Your request is granted. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but you know, as far as I'm concerned, this woman would have been jumping for joy. Because you know why? Bible says her daughter was instantly healed at that moment. Jesus didn't have to go to the home where the daughter was. It was just his words. Your faith is great. But before we arrive at our great faith, these are the ingredients that is needed. The three situations that we will have to face. Don't give up. Don't let offense stop you from coming to God and to the church. Don't let offense. In my 38 years of full-time ministry, you ask me how many times I offended. Oh, you. So many times I've forgotten. I've forgotten. But do I give up serving the Lord? No. Keep pressing in, keep pressing in, keep pressing in. Keep coming to the cross. Hallelujah. Beautiful communion, reminder for us to come to the cross where we receive our forgiveness. Receive forgiveness and give forgiveness. Receive grace and give grace. Hallelujah. We're going to close, brothers and sisters. But once more, I remind you that this woman had no place. But God, that Jesus gave her a place. Jesus brought her from one level of faith to arrive at great faith. And you and I can also receive great faith this morning. May the Lord help us this morning as we journey this Christian path. And as the Lord gives us various different experiences, may we never give up, but press in to arrive at great faith. Let's pray. Hallelujah.